Start the podcast. With your words in your face.
As I look out into the city, as I look out into the city, I realize that justice is a lady. A fair bosom lady that needs to be touched.
Oh, God, what have we done?
I love the tick. Oh, spoiler alert, I've never seen the Patrick Warburton version.
What?
Yes.
Oh, you still bastard. Haven't. Dude, it's good.
That was a thing. We had talked about it, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That I had never seen it. And you said, that goes on your list. And then the new one came out. So I've never bothered to go watch the Patrick Warburton version. I did watch every single one of the cartoons.
Cartoon is good.
And I miss the Spoon, the Tick versus the podcast. They just stopped doing it. And I was digging that it was a rewatch podcast, and I was digging watching that, yeah. That live commentary track. But they never finished. Been over a year since their last episode. Ooh.
Yeah. Welcome to the Negative One Podcast.
Spoon!
We watched The Tick. Amazon's
the new Tick.
Amazon's new Tick.
6 episodes long.
Yes.
Yes. Which one I watched over a year ago, or about a year ago. When it came out. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm yawning.
I see that.
Why am I yawning?
Because you didn't drink enough coffee.
I need more coffees.
So what have you been up to?
Well, the boar hunt.
Yeah? How many did you bag?
Enough.
Enough.
Yeah.
I've got, there's a bag of pork for me. Is it still pork if it's boar?
Yeah.
Does it taste the same?
I think it tastes better, but. Yeah, it tastes about the same.
Isn't it gamier?
Can be. I mean, you'd be surprised. Pig typically tastes the same. It's
what about that long pig?
The gristle's different, and so the fat is different.
How much long pig did you bag?
What?
Do you not know what long pig is?
No, what the fuck is long pig?
You don't know what long pig is?
No.
Long pig is human, man.
Oh, long pig. Yeah, that's funny.
It's what it is. It's what it's called.
Long pig?
Yes. Human meat is called long pig.
That's really weird.
Yes.
Where's that from?
I don't know. I just know that that's one
of
those.
I thought it was called Soylent Green.
Yeah, no, Soylent Green is people, but people isn't Soylent Green. No, it's called long pig. I don't know why, and that's a random fact that I happen to know. It's locked away in my mind.
Weird.
I have no idea why.
Yeah.
Man, I do not like the cloth pop filter. It's bad.
Why?
It feels like it catches all the heat coming out of my mouth from the coffee and the breath and all. And it like just sits there. It makes my beard warm and I just don't like it.
I think you're over focusing on the studio equipment, my friend.
I'm just saying. I'm noticing it. It's bad. I miss my metal one. Where's the metal one?
Boar hunt was fun.
Yeah.
Boar hunt was good. It was a nice quiet camping trip. Mm-hmm. There were a ton of piggies. Took my time. Gutting a wild animal is interesting. I'll skip all the details.
You did not get gored.
I did not get Robert Baratheon.
He got me, Ned. He got me, but I got
serve the bastard.
Bastard
at my funeral. That's so badass.
If I die in a hunting accident,
but that
please.
Leads me to what I was actually going to talk about in my "What have you been doing lately?" I don't really want to go into the details of sticking a wild hog. But I have been
field dressing's fun.
That's a thing. It's a crash course. Mm-hmm.
How much blood can I just put down right here and still hunt right here? Like, they're going to smell this
shit. No, the other pigs are waiting for you to go away so they can eat it. Yeah, wild pigs are nuts, man. They're nuts. Huh. They're crazy and they're smart. The one thing I was going to talk about is that in the last few weeks, I've been catching up on Marvel Netflix universe.
Mm.
So I watched Iron Fist,
mm-hmm.
and we are halfway through Defenders,
mm-hmm.
and I have opinions formed on these things.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Fist.
Go ahead first, and then I want to interject.
Whoo, Iron Fist. Some of the best consistent fight scenes in any Marvel thing.
Really?
Dude, the Wang Chung is so good. And they made Kung Fu cool. Like, the fight scenes are cool and they're practical. So they're not over the top.
Practical. I'll give you
that. They're hyper practical and they're accurate. Like, that's how some of those fights would go down. And that, as like a martial artist, that is really cool. You do not see fight choreography that's that practical. Like, the only other thing that's like that is John Wick, where it's,
I'll give you that,
practical fight choreography. I really liked that. The last three episodes of Iron Fist were good, but I will be brutally honest. Everybody but Danny Rand and Colleen was borderline unwatchable.
That's so funny that you say that.
I thought the Danny was great. I thought the kid who played Iron Fist was fine.
That was Danny Rand.
Yeah. I thought his acting was good. I liked Colleen, but everything else, like if I had to hear that brother-sister duo in those first few, four episodes, it's not Danny. It can't be Danny. Like, we've had this discussion six times already.
Yeah.
This is not compelling.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not interesting. Yeah. The constant, oh, the hand, the hand, the hand. Mm. The hand.
So
it took forever to get where it was going.
For me and Iron Fist. So Daredevil, when it comes on, I watch all 10 of them or 12 of them or whatever in a day and a half, 2 days.
It's Lindsay 13, and that's part 13, of my gripe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think they need to trim that shit down.
They don't, because it worked for Daredevil. It for two seasons of Daredevil. It worked for Luke Cage.
They were all a little long. They were in Jessica Jones.
Worked for Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones was so stark. I could have used three less hours of that.
I like that length. I did not care enough about Iron Fist. Not because I don't care about Iron Fist.
He's hard sell.
He was a hard sell. It was the corporate stuff was not as interesting.
No.
And there was too much of that.
He's supposed to feel like Marvel's Bruce Wayne, and he fucking doesn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that. He's not supposed to be, has a Bruce Wayne. It's called Tony Stark.
Right, but you know what I'm getting at, though. Like, his involvement in that corporate realm is supposed to be massive, and it feels like such an afterthought.
Yeah.
It feels like, oh, it's eradicated. Oh, he's got a suit now.
So yeah, I had issues with it. Like, when we watched it, I was so excited when it came out. Watched three episodes the day it came out, and I think we watched another one a month later. And I think we got through the rest, or no, maybe two or three in a couple months later, and then we got through the end of it a day after Defenders came out, only because we wanted to watch Defenders.
Yeah.
And we felt like we would have been missing something, which we would have been.
Defenders dropped, and I said I didn't want to watch Defenders without watching Iron Fist.
That's right.
And we had to finish Iron Fist. And I was warned, Iron Fist is a labor of love.
Yes.
I was warned. Now, there are things about it I really, really
liked. I didn't mind the villains, and the corporate stuff was a little long in the tooth. I thought Danny Rand was bad. Fight scenes were a little contrived and not interesting. He didn't make his fist glow enough, but I did love Colleen Wing.
Yeah, Colleen
did
great.
Love her.
I did it. It just needed a higher caliber writer to draw it all together. That's all it was. It was the writing, and I feel like they could have taken Danny's disposition and character and the way he was playing that. If the dialogue and situations were stronger, he would have fit in like a fucking perfect Lego brick.
He looked the part.
Yeah.
I think some of the crunchier granola parts of his personality was a little contrived.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Defenders, though?
So, Luke...
That was only eight, right?
Luke Cage plus Iron Fist is the greatest fucking thing ever.
Like, which is funny,
and it
justifies...
Yeah, it justifies all of what I sat through in Iron Fist and didn't like. And that's the thing. Like, I... Honestly, should anybody who worked on Iron Fist ever hear this? I don't think you did bad work. I just think it's the first time that Marvel didn't have something 100% dialed in. And it's hard for a really obscure property like that. Like, could you imagine if Guardians flopped? It would have felt like that.
Yeah.
And.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
So they had already decided they were going to do Luke Cage, and you can't do Luke Cage with it. You can't do Iron Fist without Power Man. You can't do Power Man without Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Because that was a big thing in the 70s. In the 80s. So I get why they did that character, but he was the one that felt the most out of place until the four of them come together. And then it was interesting.
Yeah.
I appreciated Iron Fist in the Defenders. I did not appreciate Iron Fist.
The last three episodes of Iron Fist for me won me over, but I will tell you what, there are two, the Defenders has been, I can't watch it before bed. I get too fucking amped.
Really?
Like, I get way too hyped up. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah! Like, I get too, it keys me up way too far. Defenders is so good.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Sigourney Weaver is great.
She is awesome in it. I have always thought she's an amazing actress, just in general. I love her dedication to sci-fi. Yeah. She has this undying dedication to sci-fi, and she could go off and she could be a world-class dramatic actress, and she just doesn't.
Yep.
She doesn't. She,
Avatar,
she
Alien.
Lives and... sci-fi. Galaxy Quest. She parodied Galaxy herself. Galaxy Quest,
yep. This.
She's
great. I will say that when I saw her in this a couple times, I looked at her, it's like, that is my, it looks like my mother-in-law.
Yeah, she's.
She does look like my mother-in-law.
And she's aging well.
Yes.
But yeah, man, Defenders is so freaking good.
It was good. I liked it. I've only got
two more episodes left.
Yeah.
But I just am so thrilled. In the restaurant scene, I thought, my brother-in-law's like, dude.
You mean the two episodes that took place in the restaurant?
Yes. But the restaurant scene feels just like the Avengers scene when they band together. Yes. And you're like, oh my God, it's happening.
First out of necessity and then out of comfort.
I'm not even done with Defenders and I want Punisher like now.
Punisher's coming.
They keep saying that.
Punisher's coming. They keep
on giving me the one batch, two batch. I want Punisher now. And I think they're taking their time to make sure they do it right. Because there was way too much explosion.
The second that you finish, I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. The second that you finish Defenders, watch the credits. Watch the end of the credits of the last episode. I'm telling you. Then text me.
I know that they set up Daredevil season 3, right?
Do they? But do they?
I don't know. Defenders has been so awesome. Yeah. I've never watched a show and like lost my shit like this.
The only thing that makes me a little about it is okay, so you have Matt Murdock who has the Daredevil.
Yeah.
They finally call him Daredevil instead of the Devil of Hell's Kitchen, which is kind of funny. He has the suit. Jessica Jones has never had a suit. Well, yep. She did when she was prior to Jessica Jones and Alias. Regardless, she doesn't work with a suit. They made fun of Luke Cage's suit in Luke Cage.
Yeah.
The tiara and the power bands, which he breaks. And he's like, this is dumb. They never once pull Danny Rand's Iron Fist outfit. Which is the yellow and the green.
It's still been bumming me out.
And it's like, I know that won't work because it's very 70s and it's just not going to work. But you could
update it.
Not even that. You could do what they did for Luke Cage. Luke Cage was like, no, this is a joke. And he doesn't look like that anymore. But they put it in so that people could go, ha, that's dumb. That's the dumbest thing ever. Of course he wouldn't do that. Danny should do it and have like Jessica ask him if he was going to a, you know, all-male 70s nightclub. And then he's like, oh, does it look that bad or whatever? Yeah. And then be done with it. I was looking for that joke in the Defenders, and it never happened. I was kind of mad about it. It's a real small thing. So.
Hugh Jackman never wore yellow and blue, so there you go.
I know, and I was always mad about that,
too. There you go. All right. What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? I spent $100 on books.
Oh, boy. I know exactly which books too.
Which books, Matt?
the 5e Dungeons and Dragons
books
for our forthcoming.
So what have I been doing this
D&D
week?
Podcast?
I have been writing down, and I've been doing this for a bit, but I've been really going hard on writing down ideas for.
You've been getting hard writing down ideas.
Yes. Oh yeah. Definitely. I've been writing down ideas for our campaign. In the direction that I wanted to go, the overarching story line and a couple of arcs that I want to try. That's what I've been doing. Like, literally, I don't watch TV anymore. I just go home and write. And now I'm trying to figure out locales and stuff. I will say, I spent $100 on 3 books, so I got them cheap, right? That's cheap. Because they're supposed to be $50 each. Bad. Amazon, bro. They're $30 each on Amazon. After looking at all of them and, you know, the Monster Manual as a DM, you need.
Yeah.
The player's handbook as a DM and as a player, you need. The Dungeons Master's Guide, you don't fucking need. You just don't. I mean, there's some things in there that are kind of important, but for the most part...
Most of that stuff you can look up online.
Well, it's not just that. Most of it is, this is how you put together a world.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not putting together one of your worlds. I'm creating a whole cloth.
Yeah.
And that I can get out of forums. So I'm glad I bought it for completion, but the number of times I've cracked that open versus a player's handbook or the monster manual has been small.
Yeah.
Also, 5ESRD.com.
Yes.
Very, very useful tool. You don't even need to buy the books. If you can get away with not buying the books.
So you wasted $100.
No, I prefer having the books. No,
I agree.
I have a Pathfinder book. And
the only reason I like doing the ebooks is you can zoom in and take a screenshot, and then you can build photo albums on like a tablet or something.
Oh, that's a smart idea.
And I
idea.
Can flip through monsters super quick that's on my tablet. Idea. Oh, yeah. You know, I used to do all my DMing from an iPad.
Well, Roll20 lets you do that, which I'm messing with and trying to learn. I don't know if I'm going to use it, but... It does that so I can build, if I just type in Dire Rat,
yeah,
it'll pop up all the information and create a character sheet for me, and I just put it on the map.
Yeah.
That's really nice, but that means everybody's got to be able to use Roll20, and it's kind of clunky, and I don't have that kind of time. I have a full-time job. So, that's what I've been doing.
Word.
Yeah, and watching The Tick.
The Tick. The... The distance of time between the pilot and the release of the show.
Almost a year.
So long. Mm-hmm. And for there only to be 6 episodes.
I was so excited when I saw...
And it's not too short. But for that long of a wait, I don't think the production was that intense. So I'm curious how long they actually sat on the pilot before giving it the green light.
I remember this. I remember the voting period because I think it was in August or September. So I remember because I watched it. We had to watch it all the way through, and I watched it to make sure my vote was cast. And it wasn't even announced that it would be released in August until like June. In June, I was looking at something else in Amazon, and it said new episodes August 25th. And I about lost my shit. But then again, I would have assumed it would have been a 10-episode series. They did that for Man in the High Castle. They've done that for Alpha Dogs and some of the other Amazon Prime pilots that they've done before. Yeah, this was not that. Like, I kind of get it.
I don't get it. I don't.
I don't.
I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't. We'll get into it.
I do wonder what made them decide, oh, we're only going to do 6 of these.
Yeah.
Was it special effects budget that they had to cut, you know, reconcile with?
I don't know. Let's take our first break, and then we'll start getting into it.
Sure.
I have things to say, Thomas.
Okay, citizen.
Destiny!
Destiny calls for you. I'm a superhero. I'm nigh invulnerable. I have the reflexes of an Olympic level jungle cat. I have the strength of 10, perhaps 20 men. A crowded bus of men. A crowded bus stop of men. But my greatest power is this. When Destiny speaks, she speaks to me.
I think out of the gate, 6 episodes, man.
Yeah.
And I just looked up the production announcements. When they picked the show up.
September 16.
They picked up 12.
Oh, did they?
They picked up 12.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I want to know why. Are they doing it in split release?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the time was just going so long they decided to finish and release the first 6.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or maybe there was an issue. I didn't know they picked up 12.
They did. The original announcement is that they were going to run with 12. and they pushed 6. So
there must be a split release. So that sucks that we're doing this now. We're doing season
but
1,
but you know what?
Season 0.5.
What? You know what?
What?
This is on them.
It is, indeed.
Give me 12.
When season...
Bratty American, feed me.
0.75. American Maracas.
Feed me ticks. What?
No. When they do season 0.5, or, you know, 0.75, I guess the second part of season 1, we'll have to revisit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not thrilled on the short number of episodes.
I thought this was it.
They were paced well, but where the story started to where we got to by the time the finale hit, not thrilled.
Yeah, looking back on it and knowing that information now, it feels like a mid-season...
cliffhanger.
Yeah, mid-season cliffhanger where a show like Walking Dead goes on hiatus for 6 months, and you get that cliffhanger, and it's not a full season
because
nothing's been resolved.
It fucks the timing all up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not that they don't make good use of the time.
Gosh, I wish I'd have known that.
Yeah, the timing that they have for the 6-episode arc, it's not like they rush things or make things go too slow. I actually thought the pacing was appropriate and the level of content was appropriate. But when I realized that we had no more Tick to watch, I was... viscerally, like, perturbed.
And part of the reason why we agreed to do this particular episode at this time was because it's coming up on Halloween. And, of course, you're going to do Halloween. Yeah, scary. But there's nothing more Halloween, not to mention the scary, than dressing up like a superhero, man.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, come on. What this whole show is about.
I don't do horror. Like, I don't do violence. I don't like haunted houses. Yeah. I don't like any of it. I think Halloween is fucking annoying. I said it.
Yeah, you've said it before.
But every Halloween I get to dress up like Finn the Human.
There you go. Right?
Or whatever superhero I feel like.
I like the horror aspect of Halloween, but I get the other parts of it.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, and when you watch this show, this is basically some random nerd getting a Halloween costume that kind of turns him into a superhero.
Kind of.
that's kind of what it is, which is why I wanted to do it around this time. Before we get into, and I already see your face, before we get into our Halloween horror extravaganza that we do every year, and you can never say no because my birthday is during that time, so fuck you. This is my birthday gift from you every year. Yeah,
you get one.
Thanks, Spider-Man.
You get one. I'm done doing a whole 5-week month of fucking Halloween episodes.
Last week we cut it short early, so fuck you. You actually owe me a week, you bastard. So that's what we'll call this. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to immediately the thing that is the hardest to get about the Tick is the self-aware, self-deprecating cheesiness.
Yeah.
The whole point
I wouldn't call it self-aware. He's not aware that he's cheesy. Well, not him,
but the jokes.
The world.
The world. The environment says, this is ridiculous. It is the Dilbert of the comic book.
Without the misogyny.
Like, this is the Dilbert to, like, Infinity Gauntlet. That's the dichotomy we're dealing with here.
So what I used to love the cartoon.
Oh, the cartoon was so fun. Good. I'm telling you, the Patrick Warburton series was just as good.
I love Patrick Warburton. So, but I only have the experience with the cartoon and the comics, and I love them both. They're so smart,
yeah.
But they're smart because of how they're tongue in cheek stupid with itself.
Well, and it's so riddled with bad jokes.
Yes.
That you know that their whole thing was like, yeah, you bastards are just trying to get me to shake my head.
The fact that you had Deflator Mouse.
Yes.
The fact that you had a Sea Urchin. Sea Urchin was basically fucking Rain Man. Like, that was great. It was great. Definitely, definitely great. You know, it's so stupid, it's smart. Is really what it comes down to.
Right.
In fact, I would say the Tick of the 90s, the cartoon version of the Tick, would do really well in the space of today, with your regular shows and your Adventure Zone or Adventure Times. And it was almost ahead of its time because of that absurdist, but also very smart, very adult humor that it had.
Right.
Cha on the moon. Cause he never got to chair. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. what I liked about the Tick 2017, 2016, however you want to put it, was that it wasn't at all about the Tick.
No, they flipped it. And that was
smart and great.
And we talked about, because in one of our What Have You Been Doing, we talked about the Tick pilot. And
yeah.
We just said it was so cool to see them shift it to Arthur.
Because Arthur is, when you come down to it, they're never going to give away any personal information about the Tick.
No.
They're never going to give him a real origin. It's fuzzy. If they do, it will be fuzzy and it will change. Because Ben Edlund never gave him one.
Nope.
Because
it wasn't
that's
the point.
Not important. The no, important part is
it
that
doesn't matter.
He's invulnerable and kind of silly.
Any Superman fan who actually gives a shit about Krypton is so lying.
Right. He wants
lying.
To see him punch
we don't
bad
care.
Guys.
We don't care.
Right. So to give it that human aspect of Arthur it made me care more. It made me want to see what was going on. And I did not, the Tick was neat. He's a great plot device. But it's not about him. It's about Arthur.
It was refreshing. And what I love is that they changed the perspective over and it grounds it a little bit more in reality because that's where Arthur lived.
Truth.
But it enhanced.
No, hold on a second. Arthur does not live in fucking reality.
Well, but it grounds the humor even deeper.
Yes.
Because then you're saying, okay, this flawed dude is still showing how fucking ridiculous this is.
Yes.
And even he's going... What?
Why is this happening in my life? Like, I'm just trying to live a normal life.
Yeah.
The best thing that I'm sad that they resolved was the first three episodes, the Tick only lived in Arthur's head.
Oh, my God. But I thought it was so funny.
It was great.
Oh, my God. That's
the fact that nobody knew that there was actually a Tick was great. The problem is that they... His sister, Dot, got to see the Tick.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have happened. At least until the end of the sixth. If they're going to do a split season, the end of the sixth episode is when you do that.
They could have kicked the can down the road further.
Yes.
I laughed heartily when he started thinking that, oh, no, he's in my head. Because in my back of my head, I'm like, they're not going to fight club this. They're not going to fight club this. There's no way they're going to.
At least for a little longer.
I could see them trying to Tyler Durden it. But what I did appreciate about it, and it didn't feel stale, is Arthur's unreliable narrator.
Yes.
And they...
Because he's crazy.
And they fucking nailed unreliable narrator.
It's
a great use of it. And he realizes that to himself, he's unreliable. That's what I liked.
When he looked down and he was in the blue poncho and he was like, is this actually me? Like, is the Tick me? That's when I was like, oh, they could take this pretty
far. They could go there, yeah.
You know, and you knew that it wasn't real.
But I'm happy they didn't, because all the jokes and circumstances that set up after the fact.
Sure.
And Arthur could no longer put his mental stress into the Tick,
mm-hmm.
right? He had to then own it. I appreciated that they flipped it when they did. Because then you wouldn't have had Tick showing up to that damn birthday party, which was
funny.
So good. His creepy, how are your feet? His fucking stepdad with the feet.
Do you remember what was
are your feet doing good, Arthur?
What was Miss Lint's name from The Office? Was it Roberta from The Office? You remember Roberta, you know, from The Office? Don't believe I've ever had the pleasure. That was a great little one-liner. Miss Lint was fun.
Her character, that actress nailed it.
Yes.
They did a really good job. When she shows up at her apartment, her lair, and it's like, it's an odd couple lying down the middle of the room situation with her ex-husband.
Yep.
Oh my God, I lost it.
But then on top of it, I didn't recognize the Lint. I saw it in the, when she was in the car with the Pharaoh or whatever.
Oh,
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it landed on her cheek and she like, but I hadn't noticed it yet.
Yeah.
And then it became more and more prominent. And then when she was in the apartment And I noticed that one half was clean and had no lint in it whatsoever. And the other half was just like, it looked like a cloud. I was like, okay, I get the joke now. That's great.
The stupidest superpower.
Static.
Ever.
Well, it's static electricity. Right. But it will be much more interesting when they reveal her superpower isn't electricity. It's just that she attracts lint, which causes static electricity. That's smart. That's really smart.
She's so clever. And that's a character that if you went down that rabbit hole and it wasn't being played right, that could have chewed up scenery.
Oh, yeah.
And made this miserable. They did a really good job keeping that reined in.
The only thing that I didn't like
about myself for days after going, Miss Lint. What a ridiculous. Great. What a great character.
She was great. And she played it very well. She went both feet in,
yeah,
kind of, and was frustrated, and mm-hmm. she did that very well. The only part I didn't like was the glass eye, and because it wasn't as useful as it could have. There was one part that was kind of funny, but the rest of it was just kind of like, why are you doing this? Really, that just looks like it's grabbing up CGI money. Honestly,
you could have used that money for 12 episodes,
right?
No, everything about Miss Lint was great. I love the casting and the mm-hmm. performance for the Terror. Yes. I thought he was
good.
He is really good. I've seen him in a handful of things, but this is...
He always plays kind of like over the top.
I did rewatch the pilot and him being evil as fuck at the ice cream shop. And it's pouring out of his mouth. I thought he did so great. And the Terror...
Let me tell you what I wasn't expecting in this. I wasn't expecting it to be TV... Is it MA or PG-13 or whatever?
MA, yeah.
I wasn't expecting the cursing.
They did curse.
A few times. Not a lot. It wasn't
enough.
It wasn't an FX show. But it was enough. Yeah. Enough for you to go, yeah, I'm probably not going to watch this with my kids.
Which is a bummer because... It's a relatively family-friendly property.
Yes.
So, it's yeah.
But the one of the more adult pieces that made me laugh and was so genius that made me also have to go, I can't watch this with my kids, was when the five, what were they called? Justice Five?
Yeah.
Or whatever they are. Yes. Came out of their...
Oh,
their,
my God, and he murders them.
Well, not when he murders them, because I can explain that away. But when they walked out and they're like, we're blind from weaponized syphilis. I was like, that's genius. But also, I can't watch this with my kids. Oh, my God, I
forgot about weaponized syphilis.
Weaponized syphilis.
Oh, shit.
That was so smart, but so bad, because that's what got Al Capone.
That is what got Al Capone. He died a syphilitic idiot.
He was blind and dumb by syphilis. Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff was just so clever.
Yeah.
And they did talk
about... What was the name of the super uber badass guy? The ninja, robo ninja guy. His name is escaping me. He lives on the boat.
He was the anti-hero. Yeah. Shit, I can't remember. I don't remember.
Danger Boat, voiced by Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk, he's in everything. Which made me
so fucking happy. He started talking, I'm like, no.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he was basically Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was fun.
That's the joke. He was fun.
Brutal. You want to fight now? We could fight over there. Nah, the moment's passed.
I do want to take a moment to talk about Peter Serafinowicz as the Tick. So he's got the facial structure down.
Sure.
He's got the voice down.
But
am not a fan of the costume.
Yeah. Well,
something's going on. I kind of like
the costume.
Well, I did like that they changed it. They decided to change the costume between the pilot mm-hmm. and the thing. And the first thing Arthur says is, you look different. I don't know what you mean, chum.
Right. It just looks a little more money.
Yeah. And then they had his antenna were moving a whole lot better. Yep. Moving way better.
I do love the reference to the antenna being his weakness.
Oh my God. When he grabs him.
Ow. Sensitive.
Ouch. Sensitive. He's like waving his hands like a girl drying her nails.
Yeah, man.
That got me. But there's something about the way that the suit sits on his body, like the muscle suit portion of it. Like he's got this real thick gut area that has all these muscles foam in there. But then he's got these little like ostrich legs. It just doesn't. The costuming, I would have liked him to see like that stereotypical, the V body shape. I would have much rather seen huge neck, huge upper body that goes down to like a slim waist.
But then you realize that like nobody's built that way. Well, so it would look like so much rubber on top of a normal man's head.
But that's fine. Mm. They pulled it off with the Patrick Warburton one, which you haven't seen.
Yeah, but Patrick Warburton's already like that kind of broad-chested big dude.
I don't know. I that's the only part about the Tick himself. The comedy was perfect. Peter Serafinowicz kills that role.
Overkill was the name of
Overkill. That. Thank you. Sorry. I don't know why that slipped my brain. Yeah. I had a modest amount of fun. Sorry, I had to burp. I was trying to like not let it happen. I had a modest amount of fun with this. I laughed.
Oh yeah. I thought it was funny.
Constantly.
You know that the guy who played the Terror was Rorschach in The Watchmen.
Yeah.
And he was also Freddy Krueger in the new Freddy
Krueger. In the newest one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He also plays in Preacher. Yeah. So he was really good. I found myself laughing despite myself because I was expecting it to be entertained but not find it hilarious because I'm not 13 years old anymore. And the comedies are weird for me. Like, I don't find myself guffawing at things in comedies anymore because I can usually see the jokes coming. And even in this one, like, you can feel those jokes coming. Once you get a feel for the universe, you know what's going to happen. But I still found myself laughing despite myself. Some of that stuff was just really, really clever. I was incredibly impressed by the quality of the script writing. The only problem that I had was that some of the major plot points were, I mean, god awful telegraphed. Like you knew how it was going to end when it did.
I agree. They could have definitely left that out of the campiness and given it some better rooted serious element.
But it wouldn't be the Tick if it wasn't campy.
I know.
Like, all the way through.
Like, in the bus scene, with the bus going to the overpass, and you know exactly how that's going to play out.
Yeah, you knew he was going to, you know, flip the switch and get his wings and da-da-da.
That was the one thing. Him and trying to figure out that suit frustrated me. I've seen the How Do I Shot Web. Like, I've seen that.
That's kind of what this is, right?
Yeah.
I did love that it was all in Russian, so they gave a reason why. Yes. He couldn't figure it out.
Oh my god, the guided suit, the videos.
Yes.
The videos did get me. I laughed at that.
I, watching him fly was some of the worst CGI I've ever seen.
Pretty bad.
But also made me laugh. Because they did mimic a moth's movements.
And I did like the bio-imprinting idea that now, it's his suit. You gotta back off. The only thing about his suit that bugged me is the way the eyes were like way out here.
Yeah.
Like the glasses.
Instead of being a goggle that
I've never
down.
Seen a goggle that favors peripheral vision only.
Which explains why he flies the way he does, right?
He flies like Puma Man.
That's
a Mr. Science Theater joke.
There were a couple of jokes that got me by surprise. When Miss Lynn, and most of them were Miss Lynn.
Yes.
When Miss Lint tried to leave the limo, when she was in the limo with Ramsey's, right after her bracelet broke, right after the Tick broke her bracelet. And so she went to grab the door and she shocked herself.
She's shocking herself.
And she kept doing it. I was like, no, that's pretty funny. That's actually fucking genius.
And every time she reaches for a door handle, she just stops for a second. Like,
oh. And then you think, you know, does it hurt her?
Yeah, it's got to be uncomfortable.
I mean, but she shoots it out. Like, and that's fine.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That effect actually looked good when they destroyed Arthur's apartment. Yeah, that actually looked really good in contrast to the other things that took place.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Last break. Break time. I don't have much else to discuss without, like, getting into it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do it.
Do it.
I don't know if I'm let down that I got what I expected or I didn't get more of what I expected. There was enough of a fresh take in here that I'm happy the Tick is back. I'm happy that it's being made properly, right? That's the biggest thing. I don't feel like this is off. I don't feel like anything is broken. If anything, this is a pretty damn comprehensive look into this goofy, goofy, goofy universe. 6 episodes, man.
I still feel like there will be more.
There has to be more. It's getting really good. The reviews of it have been somewhere in the 70s. But the fan reaction of it has been up in like the 90s because the people who are seeking it out know what's supposed to be going on.
Right. So something that I'm surprised we haven't already talked about, but considering last week's episode and this episode, is it possible that the Tick is really just Saitama?
One Punch Man?
Yes.
No, because he enjoys being a hero specifically. Yeah, but he's also unregistered.
That could also be a very like natural evolution for Saitama.
Well, yeah, but last week we never ended up talking about Inferno and what the long-term implications are.
Because it's not a thing.
You're not interested.
Well, not just that, but like it's not a thing right now unless you've read the manga.
Oh, I have, my friend.
Oh, you have? Okay. So but I don't come from that frame of reference, but for the joke that I was trying to make, nobody knows who the Tick is. Their powers are very, very similar.
Come up with better jokes.
Wow. Dick.
One Punch Blue Man.
One Tick Man.
I think my biggest gripe is content. I think. Yeah. There's something.
I wouldn't be surprised if in like February more came out.
So, but does that enhance or detract the review of a piece of content like this? When you go into it and you're given like you're given cake but no icing, like I don't know.
It would have been. Well, see, that's the thing. When you have regular distribution channels, such as being on a network, they would say, you know, mid-season finale. They wouldn't say season finale. A mid-season finale. That's what happens. So you know that in about 6 months you'll get this many more.
Right.
But here, if that's what they're doing, and I'm assuming that's what they're doing if they got picked up for a 12-episode season and they only release 6, I'm assuming that they're doing this in 2 parts for 1 season.
Or they're just concerned about dumping money into it. I don't know. I'm really not sure. But then you look at what they're doing for the Grand Tour, and the Grand Tour is one of the most expensive shows ever made.
And season 2's out.
And season 2's coming out. Yeah, rather. It comes out super, super soon, if not in the next few days. So I don't know. I don't know what Amazon's play here is. I don't know what... It seems that Amazon has been all in on a lot of their content, but the Tick, they're like sticking their toe in and they're not quite sure what the hell's going on.
And I'll say, I've watched a couple of Amazon originals that have been good.
Yeah.
But
Sneaky Pete is awesome.
I've not seen Sneaky Pete.
Transparent's been getting awards since the day it started.
I like Transparent. I always have.
You rave about Man in the High Castle.
Man in the High Castle has been really good. I know Alpha Dogs is funny and I've seen it and it's actually pretty funny. I know they have some kids stuff, but it's Amazon. Amazon's weird because they can pull money from other areas just to do whatever they want.
And that's what I think I find so bizarre about it. Like, if the Tick were in Netflix's hands, this is not the conversation or story we'd be having. I think the content would have come out similar. But I don't know why they're being so strangely timid about it. Make it or don't.
Maybe that's exactly it, is because it was such a, it's such a niche, it's niche, right? Or is it niche? Niche. Which, either way, it's such a...
It was like a number one primetime show when Patrick Warburton did it on ABC.
It couldn't have been, because it was only on for one season.
It did fine, I can tell you that.
I beg to differ,
but
my chum.
It's just weird. It's weird. I want to know what production items are going on behind the scenes.
I'm very interested in that.
But all said and done, I had a shitload of fun, and I'm glad that they decided to pick it up. And the problem is I can't say with any confidence that the next 6 ever come out. I can't say when they'll do it. I don't know why they didn't do 12 in the first place. I cannot figure out where the budget went for this thing. I don't think it was anything over the top as far as set design and things like that go. A lot of that's been streamlined to this point. So I'm conflicted. I'm really happy with what I was given. I'm not happy with the way it was given to me. Does that make sense? And it's shocking that the delivery mechanisms and the distribution are so blatantly problematic. Usually you don't. The only thing I can put on this par that horror fans might understand is that Jeepers Creepers 3 has seen more delays than like any horror film ever. For like a
I've never seen one of the Jeepers Creepers.
They're okay. And I'm sure people give me flack for that. They're not anything to write home about. But like the third one has seen the most insane delays and production woes and all that shit. Like it's beyond frustrating for a lot of fans. And The Tick is one of the very few times where it's so evident to me that Amazon can't just double down. They're not willing to go all in. And I think with the product that they did deliver, I think it's warranted, but I don't know what the fuck they're waiting for.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
What are you going to do? But wait and see what happens later on this year. Or if it even comes back next year.
Yeah.
Which, God, I hope so. I mean, even if they decide not to do six more this season, I would hope that it did well enough. Everything I've read says that it's done well enough for them to at least do another six-episode series or season, I guess. I'm watching a lot of, well, I have been watching some British stuff. So I will say, while you were talking, I wasn't paying attention. And I was looking up why The Tick got canceled, which, by the way, it was on Fox.
Oh, that's right. It's a Fox. Sorry.
And it looks like it was the same problem that Fox seems to have, which is get something that's that has a very dedicated fan base. But because it didn't go completely mainstream, they just stopped throwing money at it and stopped.
Like Firefly.
Exactly my point.
Idiots.
Yes. They also put through, they were putting money into things that they actually own that weren't that weren't dependent on another person's property, that this was still Ben Edlund's show, like 24 and stuff. So I didn't realize it came out in 2001.
Yeah, it was forever ago.
I thought it was earlier than that. I thought it was.
Yeah, you could have convinced me it was late 90s.
Right. I thought it was prior to me being in the Navy, and this was post Navy, which is odd because I would have watched that. Anyway. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I could have done 3 to 6 more.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest. It took way too long between the pilot and it's the like I said, when you weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
First time that production and financing are blatantly an obvious problem to get through the damn delivery channel.
But I do wonder if that is actually it or if they just had this idea to do it on a schedule much like a network show. And just didn't announce it in the right way.
So F is for family.
Yeah.
Netflix took a gamble and said, we're going to give Bill Burr an adult cartoon with no restrictions or censorship.
Mm-hmm.
Go crazy. They were timid at first and did 6 because animation's expensive. And if it's not going to take off, we need to know. Next time we'll go around. The cells are developed. The characters are developed. We have the animation studio fleshed out. We can do 10 next time on the same budget or less.
Mm-hmm.
I get all those reasons, but The Tick is a known proven property. I know it doesn't sound or feel like a proven property, but it's not a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not a gamble right now with the number of superhero properties out. There needs to be a cheesy swipe, right? A nice, easy swipe at the knees.
The problem that I have with it being just a 6 episode thing, that if they were really concerned about that, would be write it correctly and tie it up so that could be a series wrap.
If it doesn't come back to resolve Arthur being kidnapped by the out of disguise terror,
right?
Then I will be forever frustrated.
Right.
You're right, and I think that's part of the underlying what the fuck that I've got.
If they would have made it,
no confidence they'll wrap this fucking story up.
Yep. Yeah, if they would have made it a 6 episode arc that ended. And then came back, maybe had one or two loose ends so that they have a reason to come back, I would have been more interested. But because they ended it on a cliffhanger, I'm a little more trepidatious about it. And I have more faith that they'll put more out because they ordered more. So,
all things considered, high B plus, low A minus.
I would give it a solid A minus, no higher, no lower.
Yeah, I'm like somewhere in like the 90.5 territory.
The effects were good for the most part. Some of them were cheesy. You get the budget of the show, that kind of thing. The costuming looked pretty good. The humor was out of this world.
Yeah, the parts that needed to be nailed were nailed, and yeah. That makes me happy. The fucking daunting nature of sitting down to write for this property had to be just...
When I knew that this was going to go right was when I watched the pilot.
Yeah.
And the Tick is doing his voiceover, and it's about the meteor that crashes into Earth, and it's really Superion Superman.
Yeah.
And one of the... they were supposed to be Inuits, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One of the Inuits looks to the other one and says, "Your reindeer's on fire." Oh.
No, I did laugh at the reindeer
when
on fire.
When he said, "Your reindeer is on fire," I went, "This is the show for me."
Yeah. I just enjoyed it. I do, honestly, I cannot celebrate enough. Miss Lint is, she's a highlight.
Here's what they're going to do wrong if it continues, and I have faith that it will. They're going to dive into Tick's origin.
They're going to
do it wrong. I feel like this is...
But they framed it so much about Arthur trying to take down and prove the Terror's there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care about the Tick at all.
I know, but if it goes any further, they're going to have to. And if they do that, that's bad. And what I feel like is if this succeeds and takes off, and I feel like it already kind of has, then Edlin's going to do one of those, "Well, I guess I got to write this and I got to do this. And this is the ultimate version of the thing that I created."
It boils down to his mission statement. It really boils all the way down to his mission statement of what are the rules of the Tick, right? What are the rules of Gravity Falls? Mabel's not stupid.
She's silly.
They love each other more than anything else, but they are two individual people and blah, 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 blah.
It's like a show Bible, right?
The question is part of the Tick's thesis is that they never crack and break that open and ruin it. I don't know. Mono, man.
In the original comic series, the Tick is apparently legally insane, having escaped from a mental institution located not too far from the city. In the 94 animated series, he has passed his official superhero initiation test and was assigned to the city. In the 01 live-action series, Batman Well suggests that the Tick may be from space. Tick was tricked into moving to and protecting the city after irritating the employees of a remote bus station he had sworn to protect. In 2016, the Tick has no memory of where he comes from, and his past has not yet been explained or uncovered.
The other thing that I laughed at a whole bunch is every time he had that rice food.
Oh. And they call it, I can't remember what it is. Like, you're hilarious. What's it called again?
I don't know. I laughed every time.
That was good.
Shit. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was a fun assignment. I'm glad we did it. So.
I need more coffee.
Yeah?
Fuck. Do you? Did a whole lot of walking.
So next week.
Yeah. It's Halloween or October or whatever. It's here. So, and it's, I'd rather before the Halloween rush kicks in, get this shit out of the way. Cause we already talked about doing it.
All right. Since this was a twofer and you did it for me last time. Do you want to assign to me or do you want me to assign to you?
I'll just do another twofer because you threw something out this week and I think you're a bastard.
I didn't know how to approach this.
We'll get it out of the way for two reasons.
It's new.
It's new? No, that's not the two reasons I have.
That's one. It's new and it's topical and relevant.
It's topical and relevant. It's a remake of something that you don't even know this. But I love the original.
What?
And I've read the book.
What?
So I'm going to cave. and you're a son of a bitch, and we're going to see It.
Oh.
You suck. I don't want to go see a fucking horror. Oh. I don't want to go see a horror movie in the theater. This is not my idea of spending money in a wise manner. I don't enjoy horror films, Thomas.
Did you know I already seen it?
I don't want torture porn.
Yeah. Did you know I've already seen it?
Did you?
Yeah, I've already seen it.
Is it?
It is. It is. I saw it on opening weekend. And not only did I see it on opening weekend, I accidentally bought the really expensive tickets. Thinking I was getting the regular viewing experience, what I got was the Dolby experience, which I thought was just meant they had surround sound. Apparently, the Dolby experience is the IMAX size style screen, just not branded as IMAX.
Yeah.
And the motors in the chair that make it rumble.
Oh, D-Box seats, yes. Yes. Oh my God, why would you do D-Box seats for a horror film?
I didn't fucking know.
Fuck that.
It was a 4D experience.
I don't need that in my life.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I asked, because I of course saw it with Lindsay, who loves horror and has tryptophobia. Is it tryptophobia?
What's tryptophobia?
Afraid of clowns. She doesn't like clowns.
Really?
Yeah. She's never liked clowns.
I mean, I think clowns are dumb, but I don't think they're scary.
I think they're dumb. I can understand why some people...
I just insulted a whole industry.
I've never found them amusing.
No.
Even in the circus and all that, I get why there are rodeo clowns, and that's the only thing I really understand.
Those are practical. Form follows function.
Yes, exactly. One of the people from Big Brother is a rodeo clown.
Oh, God.
I shit you not. In any case, I don't find them... I find them creepy, but that's because of the inherent nature of clowns and being towards kids. I don't find them scary unless they're specifically made to be scary, like, you know, creepy clown. But Lindsay doesn't like just regular clowns. Like, if she saw a circus painting, she would be freaked out by the clown. Like, it's like, I'm good. So that's fun.
We're going to do It.
It's IT.
Son of a bitch.
Bill Skarsgård. Bunch of kids I don't
know. Man, he has a task in front of him.
I can only remember one other thing that he's been in, and that was a...
Are all the Skarsgårds related? Stellan Skarsgård?
I don't know. They're all Swedish. Who knows?
Are they like the Macaulays and the Olsons? All of them are just dynastied in?
I've only seen him in one other thing. It was another horror property for Netflix called Hemlock Grove, and he was okay, but his accent was a little hard to get through.
Really?
Yep. So we'll see how he does on this. And I'm excited to make you see a horror movie that you've not seen that's really big right now that I think that you'll hate. I mean, love. I didn't know you've already seen the original with Tim Curry.
I read the
book. And read the book.
I read the book, man.
And the book.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Bastard.
I've been called worse.
NegOneCast, Facebook, Twitter, Gmail. Keep an eye out for our podcast about D&Ds.
Our D&D Real Play 5th Edition podcast. More details coming soon.
Sunday.
Yep. That's Monster Trucks, not wrestling.
Shit. Have you ever read the 4chan green text story of the guy whose character is a human barbarian, but he decided he's a luchador? Because technically...
Oh my God.
Technically... You could definitely be a human barbarian and just do it as a luchador.
Because you're grappling all
the
time.
That's all it is.
It's grappling and punching.
Everybody always immediately goes Viking, but if you think about it practically, a luchador totally counts.
Any wrestler.
Yeah.
You could be any wrestler.
There's a D&D.
Oh my God.
There's a D&D green text about
being
the luchador, and all he knows how to do is grapple. So they're fighting a dragon, and they're doing enough damage that the dragon decides it's time to get the hell out, but he starts a grappling initiative, so the dragon takes off with him attached. So, like, I'll show it to you.
I fucking can't.
Look it up. Everybody out there, look it up. It's hilarious. But it's the D&D Luchador. I think if you just search Dungeons
and
Dragons Luchador, it'll come up.
Like, Barbarian. Zagat is a fucking barbarian. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
From Street Fighter?
Yes.
When he does the spinning pile driver?
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I'm seeing Zagat and a dragon doing a spinning pile driver on a dragon. You've blown my mind.
Luchadors, barbarians. Nacho
Libre.
That movie holds up. That's a funnier movie than it gets most credit
of
for.
It. I've not
I've only it. Seen most of it.
I've not finished it.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
Next one cast.
Goodbye.
Gmails, Twitters.
I fucking hate Halloween.
Patreon.
Bastard.
NeoZaz.com.